Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. After a months-long stalemate, congressional leaders appear close to reaching an agreement on the next coronavirus relief package. NPR's Windsor Johnston reports lawmakers are set to be finalizing the details of a roughly $900 billion bipartisan measure that could be attached to a larger spending bill that averts a government shutdown on Friday.
The latest relief measure will likely include an extension of extra weekly unemployment benefits, another round of direct payments for eligible Americans, and an extended ban on evictions. The measure is not expected to include additional federal aid for state and local governments or liability protections for businesses, two of the main sticking points in negotiations thus far. Meanwhile, lawmakers are also working toward a Friday deadline to come up with a spending bill to keep the government funded through next year.
NPR's Windsor Johnston. Well, NPR has learned that many private charitable foundations linked to some of the wealthiest people in the United States have received money from the Paycheck Protection Program. NPR's Sasha Pfeiffer reports critics allege they didn't need the taxpayer subsidy.
The Walt Disney Family Foundation, Robert Mapplethorpe Foundation, and a foundation connected to Warren Buffett are among those that took the funding. That's even though they have significant assets provided by rich individuals. Nonprofit consultant Alan Cantor said they could have used their own money to cover payroll during the pandemic.
I struggle to get into the mindset of these individuals wealthy enough to set up private foundations and then too cheap to reach into their pockets to keep things going when times get tough.
The Small Business Administration declined to say if it was appropriate for private foundations to get federal funding. It said only that borrowers had to, quote, self-certify that they were eligible for the money. Sasha Pfeiffer, NPR News.
The winter storms bearing down on the northeastern U.S. in places could get as much as 2 feet of snow. One challenge on top of another for New York City's restaurant owners who've been forced to move their dining outdoors because of the pandemic, and now they got to worry about a fleet of snow plows. Plowing's typically a good sign for kids who look forward to getting out of school with a good old-fashioned snow day. But NPR's Sally Herships reports their mayor, Bill de Blasio, has other ideas.
Since the outbreak of the pandemic, de Blasio has ordered businesses closed and asked workers to stay home. You might think canceling the snow day for the city's 1 million-plus public school children would be his least popular announcement thus far. But in Brooklyn, 12-year-old Gaspard Moritz wasn't that bothered.
I think it's fair since we're online.
But standing nearby, his dad, Jonathan Moritz, says he would love a break. He teaches music for pre-K.
Because I've been feeling especially guilty about taking like a mental health day. I haven't taken any days off for the past, feel like, 9 months. So I really would have loved a snow day.
At least neither of them will have to commute. Sally Herships, NPR News.
You're listening to NPR News. The European Union is updating its cybersecurity rules days after COVID-19 vaccine data were hacked at the European Medicines Agency. The reforms announced today include a plan to strengthen cybersecurity-related sanctions against individuals, organizations, and governments. The EU infrastructure reportedly was the target of an estimated 450 cyber attacks last year. The Kremlin is dismissing an investigation that names the state security officers who allegedly poisoned a Russian opposition leader in August. NPR's Lucien Kim reports from Moscow Russian officials have until now ignored the investigation into the poisoning of Alexei Navalny, which was published Monday.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov broke the Kremlin's silence during a visit to Croatia. He said the investigation made for entertaining reading and blamed Western countries for accusing Russia unfairly and undiplomatically. In the report, the investigative group Bellingcat used phone records and flight manifests to identify a team of state security officers that shadowed Navalny around Russia. Navalny's YouTube video on the investigation has racked up more than 10 million views in 2 days. Lucien Kim, NPR News, Moscow.
Pope Francis's ex-envoy to France has been convicted in Paris of sexually assaulting 5 men in 2018 and 2019. Archbishop Luigi Ventura was sentenced to 8 months in prison, but the 76-year-old defendant has been tried in absentia and was not in court for today's verdict. This is NPR News.